Hello and welcome to West Nottingham Academy's podcast series, The World Won't Wait, Conversations on Climate Change. This will be our fourth installment in the series, titled, What Do You Think You Know? In today's episode, we will be having a conversation with new students and faculty discussing their prior and current climate change knowledge.
I am Virginia Kennedy, Director of Sustainability Programs and Curriculum here at WNA, and I will be mediating the conversation. We are doing a series of podcasts related to how our students, our faculty, our staff think about, feel about, and work toward resolving the climate change challenge. Today, we are here with our Mike Cairns Environmental Sustainability Fellow, Cara Melchior, and our French teacher, Ms. Karen Adams, and four of our newest students, freshmen, who will introduce themselves.
I'm Adonis Almonte, a freshman here at WNA. This has been my first time here in Maryland, and so far I've been loving it here. I'm from Jersey City, New Jersey.
Hello, my name is Daniel Padilla. I'm a freshman here at WNA, and I've lived in Maryland all my life.
I'm Carl Melchior. I'm the Mike Cairns Environmental Sustainability Fellow, and I am originally from New Jersey.
Hi, I'm Esther Alojo, a freshman at WNA, and I am originally from Maryland here.
Hi, I'm Kalia Hercules. I'm from East Orange, New Jersey.
Hi, I'm Karen Adams. I'm the French teacher here, and I'm originally from Boston.
So to start off the conversation, we're asking our young freshmen here just how they're feeling about living in a world that's facing this monumental challenge of climate change.
It's been different, to say the least. Like, here in Jersey City, this is not really a really big conversation right now. There's not really much attention that goes towards climate change. So coming here at WNA and just hearing more about the news of climate change and how it's impacting several areas across the world, it's been surprising, knowing that I did not hear this where I came from.
Honestly, this year, once I started coming here, we started talking about climate change here, and then all of a sudden I see it in the news. I'm like, whoa, maybe this is something we should worry about.
I didn't really usually, I understood that there was climate change. I just never really paid attention to it until I came here, where, like, everything's about, like, sustainability and helping the environment, then learning about climate change, seeing it on the news more often, and just, like, seeing the impact all over the world has actually impacted me, too.
Being in the East Orange / Newark area, I would say not a lot of people are having the climate change conversation, although it is alarming to see subtle differences in the climate around us, like how last Christmas it didn't snow and everyone had a distinct, like, panic. But other than that, it wasn't, not until I stepped onto this campus where people started saying, hey, this is the cause for that and we need to actually do something.
So what are the things that are taking up space in people's minds that they're not really focused on this global environmental challenge?
One thing I would say is, like, crimes, other things like money, just having a housing situation, and other things like, say, like drugs. Like, it's really big talk from where I'm from. And so what, like, my family tries to do, we try to avoid it and do other things like celebrate family, the traditions, and try to go to school.
Politics is really big on the news, like how I watch it. So not a lot of things about, like, the weather, like, problems with our environment, just about, mostly about our leaders not doing what they're doing, not doing something right or doing something wrong or stuff like that. Not really about what's happening in the background.
I would say ultimately day-to-day lives. I mean, I think more people are concerned about whether it be politics or just how to go about their lives other than, like, and I think that they take some stuff for granted, like, you know, living.
I really think a lot of people think that everything is going to stay the same, and I tend to be the standard bearer for recycling. I've been recycling for years and years and years, and this is the only place I've not felt like the standard bearer, like running around going, no, we should recycle that. We should do something with this, you know. I'm always appalled that in some places they don't recycle anything, and I feel like, you know, I've been taking bottles back and doing all sorts of things for a long time, so it's refreshing to me this to be here where, you know, recycling and, you know, eliminating waste is such an important part of our everyday lives.
And basically just going off what Ms. Adams said about, like, saying, like, if we were to do something about climate change, it wouldn't really matter because it would just stay the same. Really, like, I remember, like, one of my friends tossed some trash in the recycling bin, and then I remember saying, oh, maybe we should put that in the trash. And then he gave a weird response, and, like, for me it was weird because I'd never heard anything like this, and then he's just like, oh, it doesn't really matter. None of this climate, like, change things matter.
Yeah, I think people are so used to saying, like, or, like, you would see a little, I'd say, Instagram post because I'm a teenager, but, like, you'd see Instagram posts in 2050, these places aren't going to be here, and then people are just like, oh, that's so far away. This was back in, like, whatever, 2010, and then when it gets to, like, 2050 is still there, and then they're like, oh, that's so far. And then you get to the places where, like, people are just like, wow, that's not far. It's about to be 2020, and that's 30 years away. And I would be 30 years plus 14, that is 44. And that's not even that. Like, that seems far away now, but, it, like, in the long run, you think about it, and you're just like, wow, like, what's going to happen when we're close to that time when everyone's panicking, and they're like, I wish we would have done something before, but, like, no one really cared because we're paying attention to politics.
Time flies. Time really does fly.
What's the most alarming thing to you that's happened so far? I know for me, I really got worried when Jakarta had to move. Because, you know, the capital had to move.
And you mean Jakarta, Indonesia, and at WNA, West Nottingham Academy, as you may not know because you're freshmen, but they graduated last year. We had 15 Papuan students from Indonesia. And Jakarta, of course, is the capital, and the whole capital has to move because of sea level rise. So this is a huge thing, and we had 15 students here directly impacted, who will be directly impacted by what that's going to cost their country and what that's going to look like. So
yeah, what's the most alarming thing that you've seen so far?
Just like hearing reports that, like, places like Miami, New York, I used to live in New York's and Lower Manhattan, which is pretty low. It was pretty close to sea level. And just hearing that in, like, a couple of decades from now, those places will be underwater, which is very, very surprising, because before, I never really hear these types of things. You just hear about, again, politics, like, who will be president in 2020. No, places like where I used to live, like Lower Manhattan, those cities will be gone. I don't want places in Lower Manhattan to be gone, because that's where my memories are from. That's where most of my childhood's from. And I just want to, like, be able to, like, preserve it for the next century or so, to where our kids, grandkids, great-grandkids, great-great-grandkids will be able to go into Lower Manhattan and explore it without having the fear of sea level rises.
There's a picture on my phone. I don't know if I can find it now, but I saw it, like, I would say 2 weeks ago, and it was, like, a picture of, this would have to be, I was still living in the Newark part of New Jersey, so this had to be while I was in, like, I would say sixth grade. And it had to be, it was like a bunch of snow piling over cars, and, like, it was crazy because, like, it had to be like 7 feet of snow. And then I was like, wow, like, I'm not going to have that again. Like, there's not going to be a legitimate snow day where I'm unable to go out of my house because, like, it's to my waist. Like, recently you have, oh, it's a snow day, but, like, they would call a snow day and it would be like 2 inches of snow, and I'm like, there's, like, just the fear of not being able to explain what a snowman is to, like, other generations. But, like, how do you explain what snow is? This is white stuff falling from the sky. Like, they're not going to get it. And then another thing that's also alarming is, I think, I forgot which month it was, but this month came, and it was supposed to be as, like, hot as ever, but, like, it was super, like, no, wait, it was supposed to be super cold, and it was super hot, and we had to all wear, like, t-shirts, and then it was so alarming because we were like, that's not how it was 3 years ago.
And so these experiences that you guys are explaining, it seems like they all kind of hit home because they relate to your memories or your past experiences and how in your future you won't get to experience that again, or your family, your kids, your grandkids won't be able to experience the same things that you guys are able to experience. So putting it in this humanistic view might get people to start thinking about climate change differently. And it's not just, oh, it's going to get hotter, we're going to adapt, or if nothing's really going to matter, it's not going to change. But putting it into this humanistic view where your experiences and the way you live will actually change might be an effective strategy moving forward.
Imagine a future where they don't sell coats anymore, because it's just so hot outside. And like, even when you see the pictures of like the ice caps and there's only like a little structure left, you just kind of like, as a like one person, you just kind of like, what is my world kind of doing, or what is my generation doing? But it's kind of overwhelming sometimes.
It can be overwhelming. I know that.
Over the years, I did notice changes because during the years, it's been like a little too hot during the winter months, or a little too cold during the summer months, maybe. And at the time, I didn't think much of it because, well, no one has really told me about climate change at the time. But I did notice it. But I don't think anybody is trying to change it until it actually hits them. Like, because we haven't experienced it, like, fully and in depth, it's not, not a lot of people are noticing it around the world, around United States as much as other parts of the world. And it's kind of alarming because if we're not doing anything now, then what's going to happen in 2+ years or 3+ years or 5+ years? And we don't know where we're going to be in that time.
We have this window to make changes, and that window is like around 10 years. So some people better start making decisions or we're going to have problems.
So on this note, when you say, Nathaniel, some people have to start making decisions, you know, you guys are 14 and you're not even voting yet, but there's this huge climate movement. Seems like the youth are on the move. Greta Thunberg, the young woman from Sweden who's been out getting kids to she spoke at the UN and activating the youth to demand that their elders pay attention to this and how it's impacting your ability to have the future that, you know, those of us who are older, you know, that we have had in our past. So how do you feel about that youth movement? Does it give you some hope?
A tiny bit of hope. Now, like I said, some elders think it's a joke. Like, some elders I know think it's like a joke of how, oh, this little, she's from Sweden, is
yeah.
that correct? Greta Thunberg.
Yeah.
Like, I know, like, some people who are taking this seriously. I have several close friends who are, like, paying attention to what's really going on in this climate movement.
Mm-hmm.
So I have some other friends, like, of mine, think that's an absolute, like, joke, a meme, or just something that's not really going to work because of, stubbornness or just scared to make some change. Sometimes change, you need that motivation, that strength to make some change. So it's really going to take not just her, not just a group of people. It's going to take a whole wide, big range group of people from all over the world who are able to make that voice and persuade our leaders to make that change, because we do not have that much time left anymore.
And I feel like some people are not standing up now because they're saying, like, oh, they got it. Like, they don't need me, or I don't need to do anything because I already have it. So I probably should just stay my ground, they'll take care of it. But we kind of need everybody in it together so we can make change.
Another excuse that people use is that we'll be gone by the time all these events happen. But really, it's not. We can't just really think about ourselves anymore. We got to think about the generations of the future that we need to carry our torch pass through.
And you guys won't actually be gone. I mean,
We'll still be here.
You'll be here. I mean, like Kalia was saying, in the year 2050, you guys will be in your early 40s. I mean, that sounds like a long way away, but, you know, that's, you know, 15 years younger than I am right now. You know, and I still feel like I have a lot of years left. So it's now is the time. But I think that you made a great point, Adonis, about people being scared of change. And that you guys are, you know, your points about in our neighborhoods, we have other more immediate pressing things, you know, drugs and crime and how to pay the bills. So, you know, elevating climate change to a place where we say, hey, maybe the solutions can help with some of those things. You know, maybe we can create jobs that come to your neighborhoods that will help with these other problems through fixing climate change. Maybe we can make those connections. What do you think of that, Mr. Melchior?
Well, we discussed this in our environmental science and policy class the other day. We talked about the Green New Deal and how that was kind of a way for us to stimulate the economy through being green and through being sustainable, to create those jobs and get people involved and be part of the movement and get them to change their ways, but also to help these lower income communities out. And so I think that in principle is a great idea to kind of push these younger generations forward and to kind of bring everyone back up.
I think you make a very valid point about differences in communities, because I think this is something that, Esther, as you were saying, we all have to be in it. This is not something that can just fly over the top of certain communities and just exclude them. They have to be a part of what we're doing. Otherwise, we're really not doing anything. This is the moment where we have to start looking at the fabric of humanity and start thinking about the fact that we're all a part of, where each one of us threads in that fabric, and we have to include each other in this movement. And every community has to feel like, because it has to know that it has a part in this.
I think that's where we need to bring in the word justice, right? Climate justice, environmental justice, so that it isn't, like you say, Miss Adams, a movement that leaves communities behind, that everybody feels engaged and has a personal commitment to helping meet this challenge, not only because we have to, if we want to sustain an existence here as a species, but because everybody sees that it will make us better, that we'll thrive better as, you know, as a common humanity. So I think that the idea of bringing this whole justice paradigm into talking about climate change is incredibly essential.
Well, we can't feel like any one group can handle it, you know, because if we leave one piece out, you know, we've just undone everything. You know what I mean? It can't be done if we don't include every single piece. So it can be just one group or just one part or just one area that's working on this problem to solve it. It has to be all of us together.
So to finish up here, we'll give the four youngins the last word. how would each of you, what will you leave this conversation with as far as thinking about where you want to go, what you want to do in terms of your part in contributing to raising awareness or participating here at school? What are some of the things that each of you think about?
Well, it's just like sending a message to the people who don't know or refuse to want to know about this issue of climate change. Like, I know, like, where I live, like, there's a bunch of garbage everywhere, like, so some garbage is laying out in the streets. And other places, like in India, I know that one of the rivers is just full of garbage, and, like, it's affecting wildlife at this point, animals, fish. So, like, just to spread the word, spread the statement. And the quicker we can do that, the quicker we can start to have a solution for the several causes of climate change. If we could cut those causes, then we can definitely get rid of this climate change issue.
Like you said, we just need to get the message out there And once we get the message out there, we need to get people to listen, because some just will not listen.
Just really spreading the word. Use your social media. Use anything you can. Contact your state leaders, maybe. Just really try to get everybody involved as much as you can to stop this climate change crisis.
No, I agree with you guys. I feel like if you were to, like, say how much of a not a joke this is, or how much you're serious about it, and you, like, tell them exactly what they should not be doing or what exactly is causing it, and put it on a, like, a widespread social media, give it to your families, give it to your friends, and everyone pitches in, you'll just do a little bit of good where you are on the planet, and then it repeats.
That sounds great. I'm going to finish off with Margaret Mead. This is not going to be an exact quote, historian who said, never doubt that a small group of committed citizens can change the world. Indeed, it is the only thing that ever has. Well, thank you all for participating in our conversation today. Ms. Adams, Scalia, Esther, Mr. Melchior, Nathaniel, Adonis, great conversation. And we'll close our day. Thank you all for listening to WNA's Climate Change Podcast Series.
Subscribe on Apple Podcasts or your favorite platform to stay connected to our podcast series, The World Won't Wait, Conversations on Climate Change. If you like what you hear, share, rate, and review to join the conversation on climate change. West Nottingham Academy would like to thank Armstrong Cable for generously donating our podcast equipment.